Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Have you tried out your new sneakers yet? Today's program might inspire you to get them out of the box and lace them up. Outdoors, indoors, track, or path, you can do it. I'll be bringing you lots of good tips for runners who have visual impairments. Before that, though, the New York City Marathon this past fall generated a couple of stories that I thought would interest you. The first one is by Christina Capitades from CBS News, and it was aired on Thursday, November 15th, right after the marathon, or right near marathon time. The headline reads, "Blind Runner Finds Love with a Woman Who Volunteered to Train Him for the Marathon." Training for a marathon can be a long and strenuous process, and it can also be a lonely one. So after years of training alone, longtime runner Jesse Ricks decided to seek out some companionship. This is the runner-trainer-runner, Jesse Ricks. She said, "I came across this organization, and it pairs runners with athletes that have disabilities of any and all sorts," Ricks said, CBS News, of the day she first volunteered at what's called Achilles International. She continues, "It was a way for me to volunteer doing something that I loved." What she didn't realize was that she would soon be introduced to something she'd love even more, a blind runner named Anthony Butler. So now, again, the players in this drama are Jesse Ricks, the trainer, the volunteer trainer, and Anthony Butler, the visually impaired runner. So she said, "I remember seeing him, and he was just like the funnest person there. He was having the time of his life," she said. "He had a ton of people around him, talking, laughing, and I'm like, I want to run with that guy." So she did. That day, they logged a few miles around a New York park. Then, connected by a tether, the two began training for a marathon. He now says, "When you're training for a marathon, you're spending probably 12 hours a week with someone," explains Butler. "So you're there for a lot, like when someone loses their job, or when someone gets out of a relationship, or someone is just having a hard day. While they're running, which is a release, they are also venting to you, their companion." In other words, the story continues, "In other words, if most courtships are like slow jogs, this one was more of a sprint, just by the nature of the sport in which it took place." Butler continues by saying, "It's a very intimate sport. I mean, you get to trust people. And me being blind, I have to have trust in that person guiding me and making sure I don't hurt myself. So that's why there's so much giving and receiving between both parties." Mile by mile, the two traded stories and shared laughter until they fell into an effortless lockstep. Now, Jesse said, Jesse's the guide. "He's got an amazing perspective on everything, and I've learned so much from him," Ricks told CBS News, beaming at her boyfriend of 2.5 years now. "It's really changed my entire outlook on everything." Butler's positive outlook on life would be admirable for anyone, but it's all the more so because he lost his sight in a shooting at the age of 20. He said, "I never thought I would wake up one day and wouldn't be able to see myself in the mirror," the former basketball player told CBS News. "I was hanging out with a few of my friends, and some dudes walked up. We exchanged a few words, and he started shooting." Butler took 2 bullets, one in the leg and one in the head. His friend was shot in the chest. And though they both ultimately survived, the incident stole Anthony's eyesight forever. He said, "I didn't know what to do. You know, I just lost my confidence. I got hit in my face, so I wasn't sure how I looked. I wasn't sure if I was ever going to be able to attract a woman or not." He went through homelessness. He spent time in a shelter. And without basketball, his weight ballooned to 270 pounds. "I just needed to do something," Butler told CBS News. "You know, I just needed to get outside more, because I spent all my time in the house after I'd come back from school. And one of my social workers was like, why don't you go to Achilles? Now, a little reminder here, the Achilles that he's referring to is a running group called Achilles International, and you will hear lots more about that group later. So this social worker said to him, why don't you go to Achilles? That was 4 years ago, and thanks to that fateful suggestion, Anthony just ran his 7th marathon with a woman who adores him by his side. She says, if you don't put yourself out there and you don't know what you're missing, Ricks told CBS News, reflecting back on their serendipitous meeting that first day in the park. I just went out on a Tuesday to go volunteer and go for a run, and Anthony did the same thing. You really don't know, just by saying yes to something, what's that's going to do for your future. So that's the story of a blind runner falling in love with a woman who volunteered to train him. Next story is about that same running guy, Jesse Ricks, and this is her connection to a different blind runner whose name is Allison Lynch. This article appeared in Runner's World magazine at the end of October this year. The article was written by Jacob Meschke. The headline reads, This Visually Impaired New York City Marathon, a marathoner wants to go bigger with each race. Allison Lynch watched the New York City Marathon go by her First Avenue apartment for nearly a decade. She is determined to do more with her second hometown bib. Growing up in a small New Hampshire town, Allison Lynch wasn't a sporty kid, largely because she couldn't be. The dominant activities were sports like baseball and soccer. In these sports, accurate vision, eye-hand coordination, and depth perception were a key. Lynch, who is age 31, has lived her entire life with achromatopsia, a hereditary visual disorder that reduces the effectiveness of her vision in a variety of ways. In today's connected world, finding resources and knowledge isn't as much of an issue. But growing up in the early 1990s, no one in rural New Hampshire really knew what to do. Her parents couldn't even identify the disease until she was 3 years old. But Lynch's achromatopsia has far from defined her. She developed a passion for theater and music and began purposefully thinking about her fitness at Mount Holyoke College and at NYU Law School. For the past 5 years, she has been an attorney at a legal advocacy organization for New Yorkers who have disabilities. In the last 2 years, she has become an experienced triathlete and marathoner. Running wasn't even a thought for Lynch until April of 2016. That's when a friend invited her to run a 10K, and that experience snowballed into a first rather tentative workout with the New York City chapter of Achilles International. This is a sprawling nonprofit group that organizes 65 local clubs for runners with an array of disabilities. Things began to happen fast. An offhand conversation with her visual guide on that first run, which was 4 miles through Central Park, became an invitation to participate in the New York City Triathlon that summer. Here's a quote. I was thinking to myself, there was no way I could do that. I could barely keep up this pace for over 4 miles, Lynch said. But she agreed to try it. She got hooked. And she began training and competing regularly with the Achilles team. She said, that moment of crossing the finish line, I was like, this is good. I like this. Her first marathon was last fall, the fall of 2017, in New York City, where she got a time of 4 hours, 34 minutes. And she quickly followed that up just 1 month later with the California International Marathon, where she checked in at 4 hours and 46 minutes. In this event, she won the female visually impaired division and qualified for the Boston Marathon, which she ran this past spring with a time of 4 hours and 54 minutes. This time around in New York, she is determined to break 4 hours as a member of what's called Team Ultra. But four marathons in 12 months only tells part of the story. Since her entry into the world of running 2.5 years ago, Lynch has competed and sometimes placed in 7 sprint and Olympic distance triathlons and 3 half marathons, including a first place finish in the open division of the Para Triathlon National Championships. Lynch credits not just her Achilles teammates, but also the wider visually impaired running community for spurring her on. She says it's one of the most supportive groups of people, even the non-visually impaired people who know nothing about this world, she said. Everyone is always so immensely supportive, just doing whatever they can to make the environment as welcoming as possible. Well, the next step in her progress as a runner is a more focused, strategic race through New York's 5 boroughs on November 4th. Last year, Lynch simply ran the New York Marathon to experience a race she's experienced from her apartment window. The route for the marathon goes right by her building on First Avenue, and she's been doing this for the past 9 years. Now she is better trained, more experienced, and hungry to improve. She also has a secret weapon. Lynch's official race guide, whose name is Jesse Ricks, is also one of her closest friends. On the course, they've developed a familiar rapport, invaluable as Ricks helps Lynch navigate the race obstacles. But they also regularly train together, and many long runs have ended in sharing their lives over brunch or drinks. And the relationship goes both ways. Lynch's effort helped push Ricks to a New York City Marathon personal record of 4 hours and 34 minutes last year. And this part of the article ends with a quote from Lynch, the runner. She has been instrumental in helping me develop as an athlete and as a runner. It's been this really fun relationship where we both push each other and we both want to get better. So now you've heard 2 stories about this amazing runner volunteer, Jesse Ricks, and 2 interesting runners that have run with her. Now here is more about that organization that I've been mentioning, Achilles International. This section is titled Who We Are, and this comes from their website. The website is www.achillesinternational.org. Our mission. In 1976, Dick Traum, an above-the-knee amputee, found himself approaching middle age and out of shape. After joining a local YMCA, Dick began running, small distances at first and then eventually several miles. Within a year, Dick became the first amputee to run a marathon. It was the New York City Marathon, and the experience was life-changing, bringing a powerful sense of achievement and self-esteem. In 1983, and remember this started out in 1976, so in 1983, seeking to provide that same opportunity to other people with disabilities, Dick created the Achilles Track Club, which is now called Achilles International. Today, this nonprofit organization has chapters all over the world. Achilles provides athletes with disabilities a community of support. Able-bodied volunteers and disabled runners come together to train in an environment of support and community. Within this community, runners gain measurable physical strength and build confidence through their sense of accomplishment, which often transfers to other parts of their life. Over the years, Achilles International has developed specialized programs. They are for children, for teens, adults, and for veterans. There's one called Achilles Kids, and this provides training, racing opportunities, and an in-school program for children with disabilities. And there's another one called Achilles Freedom Team, and this brings running and marathon opportunities to veterans who suffered trauma while serving in a branch of the United States military, predominantly those who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Then within this group, there's something also called the Central Park Achilles Kids Workouts. This group seeks to bridge the gap between Achilles Kids and the adult workouts. As children mature, they want to take the next step and focus on running as their sport of choice. The Central Park Achilles Kids program focuses on running competitively while keeping its members engaged through positive reinforcement. Parents and guardians remain involved. While our programs focus on running, the truth is, running is simply the tool for accomplishing our main objective, and that is to bring hope, inspiration, and the joys of achievement to all. Nothing illustrates this more than our signature event. It's called the Hope and Possibility. In these races, which take place in several cities worldwide, able-bodied runners and athletes with disabilities participate side by side. And with several disability award categories, it puts a first place win within the grasp of all runners. Now, if you're interested, I can encourage you to contact Achilles International. They're located at 42 West 38th Street on the fourth floor in New York City. The zip code there is 10018. Again, Achilles International, 42 West 38th Street. Their telephone number, I couldn't find an 800 number for you, but it's area code 212-354-0300. And their website, www.achillesinternational.org. So that's what I found out about Achilles International for this wonderful running group, track group, all kinds of sports. Next, I have for you, if I have piqued your interest a little bit, in running with a guide. Okay, these are tips for runners with visual impairments. This information came from the always excellent website, www.visionaware.org. And this starts out by saying, if you are a runner or would like to be, and you're visually impaired, you will probably want to run with a guide. There are two common ways this is done, depending on your vision, the kind of area that you're running in, and what you're comfortable with. Two kinds of guiding that you can look for. The first one I'll tell you about is verbal direction, and the second one is running with a tether. Those are the two types of guiding techniques. And later on in this section, I'll tell you about choosing a guide, setting the pace, watching the time, and I'll give you some guidance for your guides. But first of all, as I mentioned, two guiding techniques. Verbal direction. Some runners feel they have enough vision and are in a clear enough area to run with a guide on one side, simply giving them verbal instructions. In this technique, talking is crucial. The guide might have time to say, please move to the right because there's a stroller coming up, or they may only be able to say, move right. The guide has to be prepared to throw conventions of polite conversation to the wind, and the runner has to be willing to obey immediately. Move right. Just do it. I'll tell you why later. Okay, the next type of guiding would be done running with a tether. A short rope or a piece of towel about 30 inches long works well for giving a great deal more information to the runner. With this technique, the guide runs slightly ahead of you and to one side, and each partner holds one end of the tether. The guide still gives verbal directions, but you'll be able to detect bends in the road and other slight changes in direction much more easily with a tether. If an emergency arises, the guide will give a short pull on the tether or a slight push on your arm, and you'll know immediately which way to go. Enough tension should be kept on the tether that you can feel movements without you or your guide needing to pull the slack out of the cord before you get the message. But too much pulling just wears out both people's arms. Use something for a tether that is easy on the hands and is washable. Anything will work in a pinch, such as a plastic bag or a t-shirt. But ideal tethers should have enough substance to do the trick and no more. You don't want to carry weight just to get information. Some people like a strip of towel, others like boot strings. Some take old t-shirts and braid them into a useful length and diameter. Remember to throw your tether into the washing with your running clothes. If both people have similar strides and heights, the tether can be fairly short. If your guide is much shorter than you are or much taller than you are, you will find yourself clinging to the fringe of a short tether. So if you don't know who you will be running with, use a longer tether and fold it over if necessary. So those are the two types of guiding, verbal directions or running with a tether. Now, next step, choosing a guide. What are the qualities of a good guide? First, your guide has to be safety conscious. People who don't mind running across the street and nearly being hit by cars themselves should not be invited to take you with them. They need to allow more time and space for two bodies, so be sure your guide has good enough judgment to get both of you around obstacles safely. If you're becoming serious about running, you will find that the pace of your runs is important to you. You will need a guide who is at least slightly stronger than you. Guides need to be able to talk and run at the same time, and they need to have enough energy while running to pay attention to what's going on around them. If you are running at your top speed and they're hanging on for dear life, they won't be able to tell you much about potholes or traffic. If you're running a lot, make sure you choose a guide who is a person you like. You'll be spending a lot of time together. And remember, be nice to your guides. The next section is called setting the pace. There is a common misconception among runners who aren't visually impaired and have not run with a runner who is, that it's the guide who sets the pace. Often, guides believe it's part of their job to set the pace. If pace matters to you, then you should be the one setting it. When a group runs together without a specific pace being determined in advance, it's usually the group that sets the pace. An individual might consciously adjust the pace of the group by running a little faster or by falling a little back, but most of the time, no one really can say how the pace is being set. If you don't care about pace, you and your guide can work out the pace the same way. Usually, though, the pace will probably be important to you, at least within a certain range. Be sure that you are the one setting this pace. If you're running a little slower than you'd like, just pick it up a bit. If your guide doesn't match your pace and ends up a little behind you, just say, "Can we pick it up a little?" If you would like to run slower or more slowly, but find your guide is pulling, simply say, "Do you mind if we slow it down a little?" So the next section is called watching the time. Most visually impaired runners don't have watches for running. So if time is to be kept, the guide will need to do it. Be sure the two of you know which technique you'll be using. There are two ways that a watch can be used in training. In one, the runner wants to know the pace of the actual running. So if the team stops for water, the runner stops his watch. The watch only tells the time that you're actually running, not including drinking water, tying shoes, and so forth. This is helpful if you're trying to learn the feel of a particular pace. The second technique, the watch runs for the entire training run. Breaks are included in the time. This is the way time is kept in a race, and some runners prefer it because it more accurately reflects the time that the workout actually took. Both techniques are valid, and they're both widely used, so just be sure you know which technique your guide is using. And now we come to a section, a good one, guidance for your guides. New guides are often nervous about the job. They aren't sure what to do, how hard to pull on the tether, how much to tell you, and so on. So here are some tips that you can share with them that will make the job easier for them. So what to say if you're a guide? The first thing they say, be explicit. If a guide says, be careful here, this doesn't convey any information. The runner is already being careful. So if a guide says, the ground here is a little rough, this tells the runner what he or she needs to know. That's be explicit, the first thing. Second tip, what to say, put action first, followed by background information. Here's what not to do. We are coming up on a crowd of people standing on the path, blah, 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 so maybe you should think about moving right. Oh, this does not tell the runner what to do until it's probably too late. Instead, you would say as a guide, move right. We are coming up on a crowd of people standing and blah, 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 and so forth. Tell them first, move right, put action first. The third, what to say, ask about decisions in advance. If you as a guide know that there are two routes, mention it as soon as you know it, so you won't have to stop and discuss it. If you would like to stop for water, say so before the water stop. And the fourth tip, when obstacles such as bumps or ruts cannot be avoided, alert the runner to them verbally. And be sure to mention the direction, like for instance, if a curb is coming up and you see the curb, you would say curb up or curb down. This tells the runner whether to step up high or expect a drop. The next item is give advance warning of any turns, and be sure to mention the direction of the turn. Number six, especially in unfamiliar territory, tell your runner about the terrain coming up. You could say something like, "We're coming to a long, low hill up," or "We'll be bearing to the right in a few steps." These are both good descriptions. And the last tip that's offered here at the Vision Aware suggestions for guidance for your guides, you should tell the runner about two things, about the things the two of you are passing that might be of interest, if you have time, of course. Are there drinking fountains coming up? Are there baseball fields on one side? Is there a shady area coming up? Do you see cornfields? And an important one, public restrooms. Well, the next section is called Finding Other Runners. This is if you're interested in finding other runners. For runners or walkers who are blind or visually impaired, the best way to find other runners and guides is through the Achilles Track Club. You can check out their website. This is once again achillesinternational.org. Maybe this time I'll spell that one for you. A-C-H-I-L-L-E-S, and then the word international tacked right on there. achillesinternational.org. And their phone number in New York City is 212-354-0300. So we come to the final section. It's a very short one, a couple of sentences, having fun. Whichever guiding technique you use and wherever you find your guides, you're going to have a lot of fun. You might even find you like to run races. Maybe you'll find yourself wearing a smaller size. Well, this program has been all about running, so of course I'll leave you with a quote about running. If you fall behind, run faster. Never give up, never surrender. Rise up against the odds. This was first said by Jesse Jackson, an American civil rights leader and two-time presidential candidate. Jesse Jackson was born in South Carolina in 1941. He became one of the most influential African Americans in the late 20th century. Was he a runner? Nope. Actually, baseball and football were his sports in high school and college. Well, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.